Desiring God exists to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things. How does the issue of abortion relate to this mission statement? The way I've thought about abortion over the years as a preacher, and I'm mainly a preacher, who have to speak about it in the context of worship from the Bible, is to relate it to God. And the number one way, if I remember back over the years that I've preached on abortion, we always devote one Sunday, the Sanctity of Life Sunday, to abortion, and one Sunday to racial harmony, because the Martin Luther King Sunday and the Sanctity of Life Sunday in American life come back to back. I regard that as a wonderful providence, because usually the people that are passionate about racial diversity and racial harmony are not the same people that are passionate about abortion, and vice versa. And I want a church that are passionate about both. So to preach on them back to back is really important. And they're both God issues, is what I want to say. Year after year after year, I'm saying it's a God issue. And I think the first way you see that is in Psalm 139, where it says that I am mysteriously, wonderfully made. And the language it uses, I'm being knit together in my mother's womb. Well, who's the knitter? And the knitter is not nature. The knitter is God. Which means that what's happening in a woman's tummy is God's at work. God's making a human being. Now, you don't mess with that. You just don't get in God's face and say, let me at it. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to chop it in pieces. You don't do that. And you don't do it for God's sake. God gives. God takes away. God makes babies. We don't make babies. We put the pieces together through sexual relations, and God, a being that never was and now is and always will be, comes into being. Now, here's the way I handle the ambiguity of the moment of personhood. How do you know, Pastor John, that the person-forming work of God happens at the moment of conception rather than, say, quickening? First time you feel the baby kick, now you can call it a person. Or breath. I talked to a Christian doctor who told me that she believed because of Genesis 2, when God breathed life into Adam, he became a living soul. That when the baby takes its first breath, it becomes a human. Which means late-term abortions mean nothing to her as a Christian. Let's get a deep breath. So you got those options, you know. Conception, all the chromosomal data that go into making this person what he is. First little kick or twitch, full brain, breath. Where do you choose that personhood? Life is there. Clearly life is there from the beginning. But the argument of some is not a person yet. Of course it's life, because this twig is alive, you know. And my answer is, if life, if soul, if personhood happens by God's creative decree, and you're not sure where, which way are you going to push it? And who can be dogmatic here? I mean, who can say, I know for absolute certainty it's the breath that the baby takes where human personhood is imparted? Or I know that when the brain stem is this big and he flitches his eyes, God has made him a person. Or I know that when these chromosomes come together, bang, God has created a person. Frankly, what I know is this. I'm going to err on the side of not killing a person. And I use the analogy A doctor came to me one time and he said, I just saw, this is hunting season, he said, I just saw one of the most amazing things in my life. I was working down in Hennepin County and they brought a man in and he had an arrow in his back coming out of his stomach, coming out of his chest, a bow, an arrow. He's dead. Went right through his heart. He'd never seen this in his life. And he asked, what happened? This murder? And his hunting partner had shot him. Had on a brown coat, looked big, in behind a bush, and he shot his deer, or bear, I don't know what the story was. He shot him. Now, the analogy is that that man was found guilty of probably negligent manslaughter or something like that, because when a human life is at stake, you don't shoot. It might be a man. You don't shoot at a moving brown object when you're out hunting in teams. You're guilty. And if this little emerging person might be a man or a woman, you don't shoot it. So that's the way I come down. But to me, ultimately, it's because God is at work. God's at work. And if he's supreme, you leave his knitting work alone. And you love this woman another way. And you know, that's the beautiful thing about the pro-life cause in our day, is that hardly anybody says anymore, oh, you pro-life, bunch of white middle-aged males that don't ever have to suffer and you're just putting your morality on the world. Because you don't give a rip about born babies, you just care about unborn babies. And hardly anybody talks that way anymore. They did 20 years ago when I was fighting this fight. I got put in jail sitting in front of abortion clinics because the abortionists on the other side were shouting that kind of vitriol at us. And my conscience was saying, is that true? Yeah, I'm white. Yeah, I'm male. Yeah, I've never been pregnant. But I support and engage in multiple ways of caring for women, caring for babies born in abortion. And now there are so many thousands of almost totally Christian, not hardly anybody does this, but Christians, thousands of crisis pregnancy centers across the world that care for the mom before, care for the baby before, care for the mom afterwards, care for the baby afterwards, and do everything necessary to make this transition possible. Nobody talks, hardly anybody talks that way anymore. That's a beautiful thing, which is why the pro-life cause is gaining ground, and I think we'll probably win in the end.